back, everybody, to Finding My Perfect Awkward. And this week, I am with Corey Dillon. She does mornings on 100.7 Big FM in San Diego. Now, I have to tell you, Corey, you're hilarious naturally, and I love
you. Thank you. I mean, honestly, I think that comes out of being awkward. I mean, just, you know, that's where it's born, right? In grade school and just trying to get people to like you and being funny or trying to be funny or being able to laugh at yourself.
It legit, I haven't found how to be funny yet. So when I get there, I'll let you know.
I just got back from my first vacation to Hawaii in 20 years. And, you know, wearing the, the red bathing suit reminiscent of Baywatch. You know, I didn't look like a Baywatch babe in it. Oh, Lord. But I was also wearing some, like, what do they call? Like wet socks or whatever.
You know, wet socks?
Well, I think that's what they're called. They have like rubber on the bottom and you wear them in the ocean or in the water.
Like water shoes?
Yes, sure. Let's call them that. I don't know.
Wait, are they called wet socks?
I don't know. I think so. I can't remember. Water socks, wet socks. They're wet. But anyway, I slipped on a rock and one knee went this way. And so I'm kind of hobbling everywhere. It's terrible. Like, you know. I may have imbibed in a couple of cocktails but I don't think I was trying to be very careful, but it just, I don't know. My knee is messed up. So I'm like, oh God.
Oh no. I'm sorry. Right. I'm laughing with you, not at you. I had not started a conversation with you before, but it all didn't matter when you walked up to me and started talking about how you hated the shoes that you had on and you thought that you ripped your pants. We were on our
shoes. I would have had on. I
have no idea. I think they were some type of heel, but we were on our way to the liquor store to meet a bunch of other radio people. And we were walking next to each other just randomly. And you started talking to me.
This is like right after the Hubbard party, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And I thought I lost my cell phone or I thought a homeless person had it. Do you know?
Oh my God. Yes. You started talking about that.
I mean, I did. See, I didn't realize until the next morning. I was like, oh God, I don't know where it is. So we used the Find My Phone thing and we could see where it was and it was barely moving. And we convinced ourselves that a homeless person had it. And I was like, I don't have that much cash on me, you know, and Melissa Chase from Houston and I were going to go literally bum rush. We were going to go down to the park like a gang at 11 in the morning. And then bless his heart, Don Anthony got up on stage. He's like, hey, Hubbard, let us know. Somebody left their phone at the party last night. I'm like, that's me.
And it
took me almost the whole day. I don't even know if I got it that day. I just, you know, it's a scene. It's like a reunion and I love it. I love connecting with all the people that love radio as much as I do. I mean, that's like so much fun. And it's been in Chicago almost every year that I've ever gone, but next year we're going to the Big D.
It's
gonna be good.
Oh, it's gonna be so much fun. And last year was my first year, but it felt like a reunion to me too because I had known majority of the people on social media already. So it was so fun.
Yeah, and I think it's so important and so cool to connect with people that do what we do. You know, I mean, there's just this weird understanding. It's like a fraternal organization or a sorority or whatever you want to call it. And it's honestly, I wish I had started going sooner. I mean, I've only been going to any kind of conference, radio conference, I think since 2013. So, I mean, barely 10 years, I guess. But, you know, I've been in this business twice as long as that. And I know how important it is to connect with not only your peers, but decision makers and people that are making moves and get in front of them and have your name out there and be top of mind when something comes up, you know, the next step in your career.
So that's what those conferences are all about, is networking and connecting with people. So absolutely. Yeah. Getting to your experience, you said that you've been in about 20 years or so. Walk me through your journey. Where did you get started and how did you end up where you are?
You know, so after college, I had some opportunities that I didn't take. I mean, like I wanted to go into entertainment TV, right? So Entertainment Tonight offered me a internship, but it was after I'd already accepted one in Bakersfield, California, the first time I ever lived in California. So I was like 23. And, you know, I mean, yeah, my career may have been a whole lot different, but neither internship paid, I don't believe, but But the LA internship, I would have been like one of 30 working in a tape room, you know, and, you know, before we everything was digital. And it was not paid. It's like, how do you make it in LA without a car, without a job? I guess like everybody else, right? You know, everybody else that goes there to be a star, you have to have some kind of financial support or means to do it. So
I
was like, can I go back the next year? And they're like, yeah, but I never did. You know, I did a couple of internships at a TV station, Cairo TV in Seattle, a CBS affiliate. And I think, and then I, after Bakersfield, it only lasted like, I was there 6 months and I was working and making a little money. I was working at a big band radio station. Do you even know what big band radio is?
I know of big band radio, but it is before my time.
I mean, well, thank you. It's before my time too, Kara. I mean, we're talking about like, you know, the big swing bands and like the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, so I came home and I got, I think it was either while I was doing another internship, I'm not sure, but I got a job working weekends, overnights for KZOK, which is a classic rock station. Danny Bonaducci of the Partridge Family. He's the morning show guy there now. But it's had Bob Rivers and Robin and Maynard before that, who I was their producer for ultimately. And that lasted a few years. And then they flipped the format of one of the radio stations. And again, it was CBS radio back in the day before Entercom and then now Odyssey acquired them. And I started doing middays at KISS. I was the original middays at KBKS in Seattle. It's now owned by iHeart. From there, you know, I worked there for like, I think I was a midday person for like 4 or 5 years. And then I wasn't. They'll let me go. And about 10, well, a few months, a couple months later, 9/11, right? So nobody worked for months or could travel or, you know, I mean, at least for weeks. I was supposed to go interview in Pittsburgh. I was supposed to go interview in Phoenix. And I feel like one other place, but, you know, those had to wait a couple of weeks before people were in the air again. And so when we did get in the air again, that's when I went to Florida. And it just took several months for the deal to kind of happen. And they flew me out and I started that job in May of 2002. And I was in Florida, in Tampa Bay, working at four different radio stations for 17 years.
Whoa.
So I was there a really long time for just two companies. But the main gigs were at WPOI, which was The Point. It's now Hot 101.5. And so that's when I lost my job, when they flipped the format. And 6 months later, I started at a legendary news talk station called WFLA. And I was there just long enough, too long, actually. And things didn't work out. Like, you know, that was the first time I really had to deal with a very hostile work environment.
Yeah.
You know, it was very old men I was working with that, you know, just, I don't know, angry old white men. And then they moved me down the hall to Mix 100.7, which was a hot AC. I think it's now moved in more the AC direction. Like they play Christmas music and all that other stuff. But it was a hot AC that was being voice tracked in the mornings, had Ryan Seacrest on in afternoons, and my boss was doing middays. And in 8 months before they terminated me, I doubled the ratings. Thank you very much. Went from a 4 share to an 8 share.
Whoa.
And they still fired me because the hostile old white guy didn't want me even in the building. So that's what happened. So I was unemployed for 2 years and 7 months, technically, before someone that I never thought I would work with or for, Brian Thomas, because he had been in Chicago and in New York. He had worked in Tampa, but I didn't know him then. And he was good friends with another friend of mine named Ronnie Lane, another legendary guy who's been in the Tampa market for many, many years off and on. Brian called me actually on my way. I snuck into the NAB radio show. It was in Orlando and I had met at, I think at Radio Boot Camp, Buzz Knight. And he's like, why don't you just go? You know, it's like, I've done it before. I was like, really? Okay. I wasn't planning on staying. I don't think I went to any of the panels, but I just went to the bar and hung out and met people and convinced some other gal that was there to let me crash in her room for $100. so I didn't have to drive home. I mean, it's only an hour, hour and a half drive, but you know, there's drinking involved. So
yes,
you want to do that on I-4. It's a death trap.
Yes.
So, you know, and I talked to Mike McVeigh because I knew, do you know Mike McVeigh? He was the former executive vice president of programming for Cumulus and Westwood One. He now is back to his company, McVeigh Media. He's kind of a legend in the business too. And I think he's had a big hand in a lot of people's careers. After the panel was over, I guess I did sneak into a panel or two. And I walked out and I was filling up my water bottle. And I hear this voice behind me like, what does GDI stand for? Is it goddamn independent? Because I had said that. I'd stood up and said, hey, I've been a GDI for about 2.5 years now or 2 years. And it was Mike McVeigh. And he goes, hey, you know, we've got like 400 radio stations with Cumulus. And, you know, some things are happening here and there. And so I said, absolutely, Mike, let's talk. I'd love to. But on my drive out of there, my friend Brian Thomas, who was the program director of the old Kix 101.5 in Atlanta, a country format, which I'd never worked for before, gave me a shout. And he's like, hey, it might be mornings, it might be middays, but we're working on it. You know, we don't know yet. And then they got a little bump in the ratings. And so, I mean, this conversation went on from, I think this was in September. I didn't start until February 19th of 2019. So it was several months, you know, so these things happen slowly sometimes. So that's why, you know, as my dad always says, you got to plant seeds and build those relationships. You don't ever want to go to somebody when you need something. I mean, Bryan Cranston said, you know, nobody wants to give somebody a job who needs a job, because right. It's like that you ooze that desperation. You got to be doing your own thing. So even if you are unemployed, you've got something going on, you know, you're doing it. Yeah. You already have something to offer somebody. Maybe they don't want it. And if that's the case, that's fine. But if they do, if you're the right fit, perfect. Barrett's been in Seattle a couple of times, and he's now in San Diego for a second time and working for Local Media San Diego, as am I, because they hired me the day they flew me out for Thanksgiving. My sister's lived here for 30 years, almost 30 years now. They flew me out for Thanksgiving during the pandemic. And the day afterwards, they offered me the job, and I got out of my contract a wee bit early, which was great because I was working for Cumulus, but my general manager, as well as my newer PD, had both worked for Entercom, Odyssey, as did Garrett Michaels. And I don't know, they came to some kind of gentleman's agreement about me, I guess, and just let me out of my contract about a month or so early. So it's great. And so I've now been in San Diego about longer than I think I was in Atlanta, which is, it's amazing because just things did not go well in Atlanta.
What is advice that you would give to someone who is not quite there yet, but is just getting started in the industry?
Well, I mean, work your ass off, work long hours. I mean, when I was interning and doing radio initially, I was working like, I mean, in Bakersfield, I was doing radio, I was doing TV, I was working in the newsroom, I was working at the radio, the big band radio station as the newsreader. I mean, I was working like 70-hour weeks.
Oh, legit. My God.
I really was. I do it today. And then, you know, when I started back when radio stations had overnight live talents at KZOK, that's what I was doing, weekend overnights. So I was producing on the morning show and then going home like Elvis Presley, trying to drink NyQuil or something like that to take a long nap, get up and go do a midnight to overnight to 5 a.m. show. I only did it for, I think, a year because it was like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh my gosh.
No life. I mean, you know, I mean, there's sacrifice involved. You know, that's what I would say. Early on in your career, you know, very few people are kind of an overnight success. I mean, you know, I think Angie Taylor said, you know, find the elevator, find the people that are going to take you up to the next floor and help you out, that believe in you. I mean, I've been in situations where I could tell, even in Atlanta, I don't think they believed in me, you know? And so now here I am in San Diego working for a team that believes in me. Our radio station has been number one. They've owned this company for 15 years. We are the only station in the building that ever got to number one.
Wow.
For an entire book, not just like 1 month or whatever, an entire book. And, you know, I'm not number one in the mornings, but I'm doing pretty well. Against shows that have producers and partners and a whole team. And, you know, so you really just have to work your ass off and do your own thing and be your own person. you know, and if there is somebody that believes in you, even if it's just a mentor from the outside, somebody that's heard your tape or likes it, really foster that relationship. Yeah. Really foster it, you know? I mean, I wish I'd been in contact with Garrett long before this, because I think it would have helped. He's been in the industry longer than I have. He knows a lot of people, you know. I don't know if he really goes to these conferences, but you know, I mean, like the morning show boot camp is mostly talent, right? Morning show talent. But I tell people, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're morning show or whatever. It's just people that can help your career and that maybe you can help too. I mean, that's the thing. It's, there's got to be some give and take. I've had some people call me, you know, just, or blow off a scheduled phone call or whatever. I'm just like, that's disrespectful. And it doesn't set a good tone. Like, why would I want to help you again if I do help you and you don't even say thanks? I mean, it's just rude, right? Yeah. You wouldn't do that in any industry to a friend, you know, you just thank them for their time. Yeah. And respect their time, frankly. But I don't know. I just think you have to work your ass off and really be willing to learn and do whatever it takes. I mean, say yes. If they want you to work weekends, I mean, it makes me laugh that some people don't like the schedule, or, you know, you have to learn how to, you know, fight for your value too, and learn how to negotiate. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I thought I needed an agent, because I was terrible at it. But if I had to do it over again, when when I lost my job at Cox Radio, because they flipped the format from The Point to Hot, you know, I had an opportunity to come up almost exactly 6 months later. Actually, it was a little before that, but I started 6 months later. And what they offered me was a 35% pay cut, essentially. To be the third chair. Yeah. And I tried to negotiate, but the person who offers whatever financial amount first, they say, doesn't have the upper leg. You know, what the power that you have is being able to walk away.
Yeah.
And so what I wish I had done at that time, because that wasn't a great offer, but I did get some advice from a former GM, and he's like, well, you'll probably make it up in endorsements and stuff, which I didn't, because the main talent gets that, right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't, and I didn't see a raise for almost 5 years. I don't have a silver spoon. I don't have a sugar daddy. Although I did accidentally sign up for that Seeking Arrangement website.
No, you didn't.
They changed their brand, and I read some article on Twitter. Some gal was like, you know, I'm successful, I'm doing okay, and I was tired of meeting guys that whatever, didn't have anything to their name. And so I started doing it, and it was great, and I traveled and did all this other stuff. And so I was like, all right, let me check this out.
It's
only called Seeking now. I didn't know. And so I figured it out pretty quickly, because a lot of people were looking for arrangements. And I told one guy who was nice about it. One guy was not nice about it. And he goes, I said, well, I'm not really looking for an arrangement, like whatever. And I don't know. I mean, it's so much BS. I'm just like, why? It's so not romantic too. I'm just like, how gross. Like, I don't know. Like,
but that's the whole point.
I know, but I don't like that. I'm a romantic. But this guy was so like, funny. I'm not really that interested to go deep. So I was like, oh, and then he blocked me and I couldn't even, you know, give him the whatever. But and then this other guy was like, well, I read what you said, but why would you be on a website like this? Why wouldn't you just go over to Hinge? That's another story. Holy shit.
Try Hinge?
Oh, I've tried Hinge for sure. Yeah. And there are some nice guys, but I don't know. Like the last guy I talked to, a lot of them will be like, how do you feel about a younger man? I'm like, I wouldn't put it that way. I would say, are you okay with dating somebody my age? Not me, them, you know? Yeah. Like, I know I'm older, thanks, but.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward. But I mean, I have tried Bumble where it's supposed to be better because the girl starts the conversation. Not anymore. Yeah. Not anymore.
I'm flopping between the two of them, but I haven't really gone back.
Have you ever been called a very strange nickname?
Well, my dad has a nickname for me, but and it's strange to other people because they're like, does he know what that means? Uh-oh. Okay. When I was a kid, I had this like hand, it's like a double hand muff is what it's called. It's my nickname, Muff. And so one time friends would call the house, you know, and my dad still calls me that. And, you know, somebody would call the house. My parents still have a landline. Not that anybody really uses it anymore, but they would call the house and, you know, my dad would be like, "Ma, phone." And I got on the phone and my friend was like, "I'm sorry, what did he call you?"
Wait, what does that mean?
Muff? You don't know what a muff
is? Do I have to Google it?
After you're done Googling muff, look up Merkin. M-I-R.
Wait.
My girlfriends and I used to laugh hysterically at that. A muff is your, you know.
Wait, I see it. A tube made of fur or other warm material into which the hands are placed for warmth.
Yes.
It's that. Okay.
That's the thing. That's the original.
So then the Urban Dictionary. Oh.
Okay, yes. Okay, that's hilarious. Now I want you to look up what a merkin is. My girlfriends and I, one of my girlfriends got me one for my birthday, but then she moved and she couldn't find it, but she says she found it again. A merkin, M-I-R-K-I-N, I think.
M-I-R-K-I-N.
Or K-E-N, I'm not sure.
Okay, got it. Okay, wait, hold on. Ew.
Oh my God.
If you have lice there, you have more issues than that.
The reason, does it go into like where it came from, American?
It said the Middle Ages, so.
Well, yeah, like the Middle Ages or like the gold rush, because all the, in the gold mine towns, you know, where the ladies, you know, they had to shave it off if they got an STD, but that wasn't the fashion. I don't know. So they had to wear like a fake one, a wig for down there.
Your fave beverage, alcoholic or not?
I'd probably have to say, I do like a really great margarita.
Ooh, spicy, regular?
Oh. Okay. Spicy, skinny margarita, which skinny honestly just means that you don't have any pre-made sour mix in there. It's just like lime juice, agave, tequila, and jalapeno with a little tajin rim. Do you know tajin?
Yes, tajin.
Okay. I didn't really know about tajin until I moved to San Diego in Southern California, but they put it on just about every
They put tajin on everything now. You can get it on the like strawberry stuff, the strawberry sauce. Yeah. You can get it in different flavors.
You know what it's really good on though too? Just even like chopped up mango. I'm obsessed with mangoes. So yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's an interesting question only because when I started this cocktail show and I'm starting to try, I mean, I'm trying to create a website, having somebody build a website for me. I don't know how that's going. I haven't heard from her in like a month. Just trying to brand myself because again, you always have to be kind of thinking of your brand these days.
Yes.
Like, and I had the hardest time with like your brand is your reputation, right? I mean, that's the easiest definition that was easily understandable for me. And so I'm trying to brand that. So I've made hundreds at this point, or at least 100 cocktails, mostly from either pre-prohibition or prohibition. And those are honestly my favorite because I don't love like the super sugary, like I tried to make an apple teeny that didn't taste like it was made with, you know, apple pucker, like super sugary stuff.
Yes.
But you know, the cocktails that came out of pre-prohibition and prohibition, chef's kiss. They're just so good.
Your first ever job, even outside radio.
It was definitely in like the restaurant industry. And I think it was at Marie Callender's.
Oh.
I don't even know if they still have restaurants, but they had restaurants. Mm-hmm. In addition to the fabulous pies that you can buy in your local grocer's freezer. But yeah, pot pies, pumpkin pies.
There's one in Vegas. There's a restaurant in Vegas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they, so I was a hostess. That was my first and my, I was going to say like when I lost my job before 9/11 and through 9/11, I worked at a restaurant again, but people thought I was a manager or whatever. I was just a hostess, but I got a great shift meal. It was a really nice restaurant. I mean, one shift meal was like steak and lobster tail. I was like, yes, please.
Whoa.
It was good.
Can you do an impression of anything or anybody?
Okay. Yes. And the only reason why I do this impression, this one in particular, Gilbert Gottfried, may he rest in peace. You know Gilbert?
Yes,
of course.
He did
the voice of, was it the Aflac duck, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Part of my demise at at the radio station that I was working for in Florida. I had to raise my hand to speak. Every Friday, we would have a traveling comedian that was coming through the comedy clubs in town. And this week, it happened to be Gilbert Gottfried. And I was sitting in my chair. There were three of us around our console, right? And we had another room with our producer and our board operator in it. And I raised my hand to ask Gilbert one question. And he looks at me, most of the way, and he goes, "You're raising your hand to ask a question?" Sure am, Gilbert. I have that on audio, actually, somewhere in the archives, because I wanted it to save my ass, you know, and they stupidly sent it to me, among other things.
Thank you so much, Corey, for being on this.
Flattering.
I appreciate you. Of course, of course. And I look up to you, so thank you so much. You.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens next for you. And I hope to be around to see it for a very long time. Just kidding. Because I mean, you know,
you're not that old, Corey.
What? I know, but
you're not that old.
In the business, you know what I mean? It's show business. At Corey Dillon One on Instagram. And I think it's, you know, TikTok. I think it's Ms. Corey Dillon there and on YouTube, which I'm trying to build up my YouTube channel. And just Corey Dillon on Facebook and the Twitter. Who knows how long that will last? At Corey Dillon.